Glory to God. Okay, let's just come around the Word of God. Staying or awaying? Staying or awaying? Would you turn to Mark chapter 5? And we will read verses 1 to 20. Mark 5, verses 1 to 20. Just as before we come and read the Word of God together, in Acts, in the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, in chapter 17, for example, we read about Paul and the others. They had been preaching, and then they come to Thessalonica. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul comes to Thessalonica, and for three Sundays, the Apostle Paul preaches in the synagogue, and he declares to them that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. It was he who died and rose again for the sins of the world. He preached Jesus. Sorry, is there anything? Okay, so he preached Jesus. Hallelujah. And people were stirred up because there came salvation. Salvation came to some Jews. Salvation came to Gentiles. People did turn to the Lord Jesus and recognize that he was the promised Messiah. Well, that stirred up some trouble amongst the religious people. It stirred up the Jews. And so what they did, they said, well, these Christians, these people who've now embraced Jesus, they're turning the world upside down. They're upsetting things. And so they went to the mobs, the ringleaders, the people whom Tim may have been associating with, and says, get a riot going. Cause some trouble. Cause a disturbance. Let's drive these Christians out. We don't want Jesus around here. Paul had to flee. He had to go to another place. These Christians, they're bad for business. Well, here we've got an account where Jesus had to go away because he was bad for business. He was changing things. He was transforming situations. The old was disappearing fast. The new had come. Mark chapter 5. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boats, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. There's obviously a lot of fear about this guy. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. But he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine, pigs, was feeding there by the mountains. So all of the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine, that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who had fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was happening. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon possessed and about the pigs. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. Jesus experienced hostility. He experienced hostility. And here in this account, he experienced hostility. He was told, "We don't want you here. Go away. You're upsetting the status quo." There were some folk in Gadara who had seen what had happened. In fact, we are told that they were the ones who had been feeding these 2,000 pigs. They had seen what had happened. And they run into the city, verse 14. They told it in the city and in the country. They were spreading the news. Something has happened. Something amazing has happened, but we are troubled, we are angry, we are fearful. We can't make out. But they came to the conclusion when they came and saw the man who everyone had lived in fear of, and who himself was so possessed by this legion of devils that he had the strength of 10,000 ox, when they saw him now change, sitting at the feet of Jesus, they were afraid. They were questioning in their mind. And they said, "Hey, Jesus has got to go. We can't have this man here. We can't have this man here. Away with him." Now, I wonder why they were saying this. I'm going to suggest one or two things just as a preamble. Why would they have this reaction to what was so obviously such a great miracle? Why would they be so stirred up and angry and want Jesus to flee? Why? Well, I would suggest, for one reason, it comes down to money. It comes down to the bottom line, as it were. Because in this case, Jesus was doing their trade no good at all. He's doing their trade. Because now 2,000 pigs are lying at the bottom of the lake, at the bottom of the sea. So the bacon's not going to come home. You've got to remember that these are with the Gentiles. This is the Gentile region. It's not the Jews. So their business is going down the pan because of Jesus. Jesus is bad for business, it seems, in this case. Maybe also they feared that, well, if it can happen to this demon-possessed man, that his life can somehow, what may happen to me? You know, comfortable? I don't want, hey, if I meet with this Jesus, perhaps he's going to turn my life around, and I don't think I'm ready. I just want it as it is, really. Perhaps they had got something that they didn't want to lose. So, away with you, Jesus! Perhaps just the very presence of Jesus was bringing some conflict in their mind, in their emotions. Perhaps there was some guilt coming to them. And there was a battle between what they should do, what they know they should do, and run to this Jesus and embrace him rather than telling him to flee away. But then the enemy was on their back and their old life and all was, and they think, "Oh no, not now. Maybe in 2 years' time we'll say, 'Come back, Jesus,' but Not now. Go away, Jesus. Go away. Well, of course, unless you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, that is what we would still do, isn't it? How do people react today? How do we react today? Is it away with him or stay with me? Away or stay? Go or abide? Maybe you don't think that you fall into this camp, away or stay. Or maybe you've got some family or friends think, well, they don't exactly fall into this camp. They're perhaps waiting and seeing, but trying to make up their mind. But what we have to remember is what Jesus himself talks about, I think, in Matthew chapter 12, when he talks about a house divided against itself can't stand. And then he says, at the end of that little section, if you aren't for me, you're against me. So, you, myself, family, friends, colleagues, mates, we're either saying away or stay. We're either for Jesus or against him. Two camps at this moment in time, see? Away from us or stay with us. This is what they said. Look, we read about this man who had been changed. This, you know, what we believe has happened to the person that our brother has been speaking about this morning, about the change, and now others are seeing it. They want to know. Now, undoubtedly, he will get hostility. Some of his mates may not want to know him anymore. He will find that to follow Jesus, there is a cost. But people are seeing that his life has been turned right way round. You see? And this has happened to this guy. But it's getting a reaction, isn't it? Jesus got a reaction. The Apostle Paul got a reaction. This brother gets a reaction. People are either saying, away with me or stay with me. Who is saying, away with him? What I want to do this morning is that God will stir up real burden and hope in each one of us, because if you, by the grace of God, are with the Lord, that it will encourage us to abide in him, stay with him, and make himself known. But also, you will have family friends, you will have colleagues, you will have mates, you will have peers who, as yet, have pushed Jesus away. I want the Lord to really stir up some hope in you, to not give up, to keep praying and believing, and letting your life, my life, shine as a witness. Because people will say, yeah, I believe this is true. I believe the gospel is true. Yeah, I can see what's happened to you. You're a changed person. Perhaps they've experienced something even of the joy of the Lord. But then began counting the cost. Began concerned about what family might think, what friends might think, what mates might think, perhaps the mockery at work or at college. So, in the end, the Holy Spirit is resisted, in effect, away with him. Some people are still in church who have that attitude, still away. Other people are saying, away with him, because of their chosen lifestyle. They know the Bible is true. They know that Jesus is the Saviour. Perhaps they've even at some point confessed their sin. They've expressed faith in the Lord, and God has done something for them. The seed did fall on some ground where it did spring up. Did have some roots, and the plant grew for a while. So they know it's true. They have walked with the Lord. They have said to Jesus, stay with me, abide with me, this is the life. And now I have reconciliation with God, my Maker. So they enjoyed the privileges of being a born-again spirit, a person, as it were. But then, the devil gets on their back. The love of the world gradually is weaning them back. And perhaps they get ensnared in something which at one time they had been freed from. The love of nicotine, drugs, alcohol, pornography, an ungodly lifestyle. Perhaps choosing to have a relationship with an unbeliever, one you're not married to. Choosing a lifestyle that is displeasing to the Lord. What in effect are we saying? What is in effect our friend saying? Away with you. Away with you. Not saying they're not Christian, but what we're saying is away. And that causes grief. That causes displeasure. Because Jesus doesn't want that. He wants to abide in us, we in him, as he is in the Father. He wants a relationship. He wants fellowship. But there's always the pull of the world, the pull of the flesh. And that's why we have to be full of the Holy Spirit. Resist the devil. He will flee from us so that we can enjoy harmony with the Trinity. You see, we can say away and still be Christian. The danger is that we cease to become disciples, and then we're in big trouble. Perhaps we know some people, maybe ourselves, who are just too busy, not necessarily doing anything wrong. May not be, as it were, in an ungodly relationship, ungodly lifestyle, may not have an addiction or anything that people can throw and say, oh, well, he can't be a Christian or anything like that. But you're just too busy making money, wanting to climb the ladder. And gradually that takes over and the love of Jesus becomes cold. So busy that we stop the fellowship, stop the prayer, stop the Bible reading. Ever so gradually. It doesn't happen overnight. But we're becoming preoccupied with other things. Actions speaking of a coolness to the Lord. What we are in fact doing is saying, away with you, Jesus. No longer is he boss of our lives. We're doing our own. You know, it's possible, isn't it? I've been there. Friends, I've been there. We need to recognise if that's happened to you this morning, let God minister to you and bring you back. God is looking for people who are passionate for him, who are committed to him. In these last days, you know, we spoke last week about, you know, the guy who said, you know, we need more fanatical Christians. People really sold out for Jesus. Because these are the people who are earthly good. No matter, friends, where we come from, no matter what we may have done in the past, or how high in worldly standards we have ascended, that's all worthless. We must be willing to forsake all and follow Jesus for the sake of the glory of the Lord, that our peace and others may come to know the saving power of Jesus. Not away with you, Lord. Stay. You see, our Lord is still such a great God. He's such a great God, he can still do great things. He can deliver us from our miserable past. but also from our present sins. This is our God. Let's pray. For this man we've read about, the chains literally fell off. He was free. He received amazing grace. And I hope, trust and believe, each one of us who are in this congregation has received by faith God's incredible love, the joy of forgiveness, the peace of reconciliation. If there's any who haven't, may you just now humble yourselves before God. There is a cost to count, but what the Lord gives you is far, far, far greater, and it's eternity compared with something which you may have to give up for the sake of Jesus. Come to the Lord now, while he may be found. And live. Come to Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit draw you now. No longer away with you, Lord. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come. Maybe there's some of us here who know that we, by our actions, by a chosen lifestyle, by getting involved in perhaps music or something which is ungodly, and it's somehow God has been displeased, and today he's saying, come back. You see, he hasn't left us really, we've left him. Come back. Fill you with my Holy Spirit. I want to restore you. And as you confess, Jesus said, I want to reassure you there is now no condemnation to you because you are in Christ Jesus. He wants the best for us. Come back. May you have that holy hatred for that sin, for that thing which is creating a barrier. Maybe there's some of us who have just got so absorbed in secular work or in things which may in themselves not be bad, but we know it's been dominating us. We haven't had that time with the family, reading the word, praying. We haven't had worship. The love of money actually has gotten to us. And, well, actually, we know in our hearts the Lord said, look, you can't worship idols and mammon and still have me. Nothing wrong in being successful if it's committed to the Lord, if God's in it. Nothing wrong. We should be wanting to do our best. We should be using our gifts for the glory of God. But if the Lord is being squeezed out, then we're being robbed. Families are being robbed. Neighbours are being robbed. The community is being robbed because they're not seeing Jesus. We become carnal. Now, let's lay that at the altar. Lay it at the altar. Lay ourselves at the altar. He is so gracious, so forgiving, longs that we will be blessed to be a blessing. If we've said, you've said, I said, away with you. We haven't maybe echoed those words, but that has been what is happening. We've been drifting into doing our thing rather than God's. His word has ceased to abide in our hearts, and we've been on, well, just autopilot. Wow, God's got something so much better. We've tasted, handled. God is good. God is gracious. Let's come back to him. He has much to do with you and for you. Come back. easy for a dead fish to swim downstream. It takes a living fish to go upstream against the tide. We are opposed to the world standards because we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. We are now serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Let us live as children of light, not hiding our bushel. Young people, fall in love with Jesus again and put him first, whatever the cost, and we will see